Good morning. My name is Melissa Ely Moore. I'm with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this morning I'm going to talk with you about eGratis. For those of you that are direct grantees, you are quite familiar with eGratis, which is our grant application tracking tool. It helps you build your grant every year. And I'm going to talk to you briefly about where we are with the eGratis process and the grant process for this year and what to expect in 2011. Okay, so first I'm going to start with a timeline for a 2011 grant timeline. The reason I'm doing this, I know there are quite a number of you who've been doing this for years, but there are a couple of new program managers. I just want to make sure you're all aware of the timeline and the expectations. I'm going to talk very high level about some of the major eGratis changes for 2011. I'm not going to show you anything today, primarily because this is a very deep room and it would be hard to see sort of the detail work, but I'll go over the major changes. I'm going to talk about changes to your ERA application, and by that I do not mean that you are required to make changes, but I'm just going to give you some information if you need to make changes to use money in different ways than what you originally applied for. And then last, I'm going to speak about what I like to fondly call Melissa's nag list. These are just some little things that I've noticed over the last couple of years as I've started doing this job that the grantees seem to forget. So just some tips and tricks and things to keep in mind when you're dealing with your grant. All right, so for 2011, the grant timeline, the grant is due through grants.gov. It will be due, as always, on August 15th, 2010. What is due for a renewal grant or a non-competing continuation grant are the following: your mid-year progress report that includes your progress towards your objectives, your 2011 objectives, a budget for 2011, along with a budget justification, and the other required attachments, which are, in this case, the SF-424, excuse me, and your indirect rate agreement. We have had a couple of instances where grantees have not provided their indirect rate agreement. Please make sure you get a copy of that from the fiscal or administrative people and scan it and attach it to your eGratis application that's uploaded through grants.gov. It's really important that you attach that. PGO will contact you if you don't have it. So make sure you get a copy of that. And for those of you that don't really know where that might be, you might want to start looking for that now. We anticipate that eGratis will open for building your 2011 grant application on June 15th of 2010, and we will send the grantees a draft copy of the non-competing continuation announcement once that's been sent over to PGO so that you can take a look at it. So major eGratis changes for 2011, this is for Paula Chase. The FISCA table is gone. I hope that engenders a lot of clapping. I would like to hear some noise. Cheerleader. We'll be using whole dollars for the budget development this year. I think one of the things that grantees really struggled with last year was, you know, assigning percents. It created problems with getting the funding streams to balance. Some folks were a dollar over, a dollar under. So we're only going to be working in whole dollars this year. Another thing that we've done this year is to pre-program all of the required activities. We're calling them required objectives, but they're actually the required activities. You've seen them in the IPOM for years. So we've pre-programmed those for you so you don't have to type them. More changes. So while building your budget, the screen will show you how much funding has been allocated and how much remains so that you don't have to go back and figure it out and do the math. We're also doing a significant amount of end-user testing. Some of the PHAs out in the field have been doing some testing for us, or will be doing some testing for us. We greatly appreciate their help because they're the ones who are going to find the bugs, and hopefully it'll be a smoother ride for you this year. We will also provide you with more written guidance that will include tips and tricks. If you think like the For Dummies books where it has a little tip box, we'll have some information in there. It'll give you some specific instructions on how to enter certain things like optional objectives or how to enter your 317 DA for registries. Let's see. I do want to take a moment and talk about the targets for eGratis. This has been an ongoing thing that grantees don't seem to understand. We give you a target in eGratis that is somewhat inflated, and the reason that we do that is in the unlikely event that we get additional funds, it keeps you from having to write a supplemental grant award in order to get those additional funds later on. It is not, those targets, however, are not a guarantee of funding. That is not your funding ceiling. That is not what we are going to give you. We give you your fair share of the amount available, and sometimes, like this year, that amount is less than your target in eGratis. So we just want to make sure it's clear that it's a target, it's not a guarantee. Okay. Some more eGratis changes. We're going to pre-populate the budget from the prior year. However, because we've made some significant changes, structural changes to the database overall, we can't import the work plan objectives. You will be building separate budgets for each funding category, so there will be a budget that's strictly 317, a budget that's strictly VSCA fix, so on, for all of the different funding streams or categories of funding that are in your grant. I do want to make a note that categorical funds may only be used when they are specific to the required objectives and activities. VFCA fix is my favorite one to use because that's specific for your VFCA fix visits. You can't use that for perinatal hepatitis B activities. This new way of building the budget is going to allow us and you to plan and account for the different funding streams. We're often asked to provide information to the higher-ups at CDC or congressional folks about what you're doing with your funding, and it's been very difficult to do that. The new structure of eGratis will help us do that much more easily. Okay, I'm going to move on to the era changes. As I noted earlier, there will be no changes made to the ERA portion of eGratis because this resides in a 2009 module. What I mean to talk about here is there are a number of you who've actually had to go back and revise your work plan. And we have not had you do that in eGratis because you are supposed to formally request changes, work plan changes through PGO, and you will need to continue to do that. But we would ask for you to update your eGratis when you can, with the changes you've made so that the records match. In the event of an audit, we want to make sure that what PGO shows is what we show. You would do that through the post-award administration module in the 2009 eGratis application, and we do have some documentation to provide grantees. If you have made some changes or plan to make some changes to your eGratis work plan, you want to talk with your project officer, and we'll get you the information you need to make those changes. Okay. Other grant information, this is my NAG list. First, I encourage all of you to work with your project officers on redirection requests, both for ERA and the regular grant redirections. And in particular, if you're planning on sending in a formal redirection request to PGO, please do copy your project officer because it helps us track the redirection request progress in the system. I also want to point out the 25% or $250,000 rule. HHS as an agency has implemented a rule that says a grantee may redirect 25% or $250,000, whichever is less, with a simple email to their project officer. Anything over that requires a formal request to PGO. Another thing I want to point out, this happened a couple of times this last year. PGO will not approve redirection requests after 10-1 of any given year, and that's because our funds are awarded to us on the federal fiscal year, which ends on 9/30. So if you come in as a grantee on 10/25 and say, I need to redirect funds from this category to this category, and it's over this $250,000 rule, technically, according to PGO, those funds have expired, and so you are not able to redirect those funds. I have a number of grantees who tend to redirect funds the very last month of the year. And, you know, I just need you all to know that those won't be approved by PGO. So you may want to look at doing those redirection requests earlier. Okay. Interim FSRs. I've been dealing with this because this has come up recently. Your interim FSR is due 90 days after the end of each single grant year. So, for example, the 2009 grant year FSR was due on 3/31 of 2010. I want to point out this is an interim FSR. You have 1 year from that date, from 3/31/2009, to submit, or 2010, excuse me, to submit your final FSR. I've had some confusion from some grantees. Is it final? And PGO has not helped that. They've kind of sent out emails saying your final is due. The interim was due on 3/31. You have a year from when the interim was due to submit your final. And that allows you to, of course, you know, liquidate your obligations against contracts and things like that. Along the lines of carryover, I want to just briefly talk about how we use carryover. I know a lot of you know that we use carryover in lieu of new funding. We hold your carryover now for 2 years. So for example, if you reported carryover on a final FSR for the calendar year 2008 or grant year 2008, we would be awarding that to you this year. The reason we do this is precisely because of this 90-day rule. When I first came into this job, there are a couple of grantees out there who can attest, we've had to go back and correct several prior years' worth of NOAs, reducing prior years' awards because grantees submitted an FSR, an interim FSR, that reported, let's say, for example, $500,000 in carryover, and then submitted, we awarded them that $500,000 in carryover, and then within that next year, they went back and revised and submitted a final FSR and reported $12,000. So it creates a sort of a domino effect if we don't hold your carryover. That's why we do this, is so we don't have to go back and process actions later to reduce your award in prior years. As you can imagine, having your award reduced in prior years is going to put you in a really weird budget position because you're going to have to pay for expenditures you made with money you don't have. Okay. Another thing I want to clear up, your annual progress report, which is the narrative progress report, is always due to PGO. You must send that by 3/31 of so 90 days after the end of the grant year each year to PGO. You may send that electronically or you may send that by a hard copy, but there were some grantees who were given the erroneous impression that all they had to do was submit their annual progress report through PAPA. That's actually not true. And in fact, grantees now use the end of year progress report function in eGratis. So what you'll want to do in future years is use that to report on your progress, print off the progress report, and send it to PGO. Some other little details. Prior approval is required for redirections due to changes in key personnel and or contracts. So if you lose your program manager and you need to redirect funds because of that, you need to formally request that through PGO via letter. Another thing that I notice sometimes in the grant applications is what equipment. Equipment is sometimes misclassified, so I just wanted to define it here for you. It is tangible, non-expendable, this is the legal definition, by the way, personal property having a useful life of more than 1 year and a cost of $5,000 or more per unit. So if you are requesting, let's say, a laptop in your grant for 2011, and the cost of that laptop is $2,500, that's considered supplies, not equipment. If you're requesting 10 laptops and they're $2,500 each, they're still considered supplies. The other thing I wanted to let grantees know, in 2011, grant funds will be distributed among the object classes per eGratis. So you all recognize it in the last year was such a mess that we decided to go ahead and send you your award amounts for each round and ask you to apportion those dollars among your object classes, meaning personnel, travel, et cetera, et cetera. We won't be doing that in 2011. We'll be doing it according to eGratis. So I strongly encourage you to think about that when you are building your application. And we understand, of course, that things change over time, but it's a burden on you all, and it's a burden on us to, you know, give you 5 days to allocate those funds. And our goal eventually with eGratis is that, you know, we should be able to do this automatically. So think about that when you're building your application. Is this really what I'm going to need in personnel, or should I be putting these dollars in another object class? And that's all I have right now. So for questions, I would encourage you to start with your POB project officer. They know this stuff very, very well. You can also contact me. And I'm going to turn it over to Lance. We'll hold questions till the end.